You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
10 minutes after 9, Central African time. It's a beautiful evening. It's a part 2, 9 to 10. That is the Q&A with myself and our beloved senior respected Fadila Tulustad. I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Al Ansar International, our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company, and our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I almost said the voice of the voiceless, subhanallah. Ustad, the question says here, dear Mufti, one more question. If wife have provident fund, husband, two sons, one daughter, Ustad, it's a similar question. G.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We know that death is inevitable, and once a person passes away on Iman, Islam, then we as Muslims should be reading these two verses, which I mentioned many a time on several occasions. Surah chapter 14, verse 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. And chapter 59 and verse number 10. So remember that Rabbana now in a case like that, where the wife passes away and she has this provident fund and what have you, and she has to fill in the shares, so remember husband will be 25%, and then you have two sons and you have one daughter, so the residue remainder after the husband's 25%, so that you make five shares there, so that will be the two shares for the sons. And you must remember one share for the daughter. So that is what will happen in that instance.
Ustaz, somebody says, yeah, Mufti Sahab, I have children, but no good proposals for them. I am making du'as, but I'm so eagerly waiting for my children to settle and have little grandkids, etc. Any du'as for me to have patience, Ustaz?
Remember that every parent, grandparent is worried about their sons and daughters, especially when they go into their 30s and 34, 35, 39, 40. So you must be concerned. So you, the parents, grandparents, read chapter 25, Surah Furqan, verse number 54. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. He, Almighty Allah, created you, human being, from the semen and sperm. فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَسِهْرًا. Then he, Almighty Allah, blessed us with parents. We have a lineage, wasihra, and in-laws. So read that, you, the parents, grandparents, you, the son, daughter, you 20, 25, 30, 35, and 40. So read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. You see the problem with us, the Indians, by and large, that we feel shy to pass the word around, especially if our daughters. Now she's 28, 30, 38, 36. Then pass the word around. There's nothing wrong in that. That is Islam. You must remember chapter 28, verses 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. Nabi Musa salam, left Egypt, came to Midian, and then he had the two sisters there. So you must remember then what they told the father, this person is very good, employ him. Inna khayra man istajarta al-qawiyul amin. He's very, very strong, active, honest. So he, the father, Khatibul Anbiya, the orator of the prophets and messengers. So lo and behold, Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to him. Inni uridu an unkihaka ihdat natayya hatayn. I want one of my daughters to marry him. Sayyida Safura radiallahu anha became his wife subsequently. So it shows the proposal came from the father's side. And these are Anbiya alayhimus salam. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha al-kubra, her title, her laqab Tahira, so pure she was. When we go to her Mubarak grave, we say, As-salamu alayki ya umma al-mu'mineen. Sayyida al-Khadija al-kubra radiallahu anha, As-salamu alayki ya umma al-mu'mineen, Tahira. So we use all these words out of love and respect for her. So she proposed for Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to humare bachche konchi darakh ke hai. So we, our children came from which tree they came now? No. In Mehman we say, Panjo kunakta kapi vadyo. He cut our whole nose finish. You understand? How can we go and tell that person, come marry my daughter? Ked Gujarati, Surti, they will say, you must remember, em kim thai. You understand? So this is apni izzat chali jai. So, oh, shaitani at this. That izzat of yours is, they belong in your lal kitab in India. So you must remember, Islam says, you must pass the word around. Tell the Maulanas, tell the people in the town, and so forth and so on. My daughter is there. So let the people who are responsible come and see. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Islam encourages that.
Ustad, for that question of the father who wants to exhume the body of his daughter, Ustad, what verse was that again, Ustad?
So yes, we answered that. You must remember that. You must make dua, surah 59, verse number 10. So that is the dua you must read.
Somebody says, the advice on the virtues of having visitors, Ustad. My father-in-law comes to visit. I tell my children, the angels come what? We love to have him and visitors, especially over the December holidays, Ustad.
So yes, so what's the question? The question is, well, if the visitors come. Yeah, so it's very good if you have visitors. There's no problem. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. So if you believe in Allah and the last day, so honor your guests. But what happens today is there's people want to rock up December time, and you know December time the maids are gone, and now you just want to stay there because people don't want to stay in the hotels, it's busy and so forth. So you must remember three things. Those people must give permission. You can't just come there and impose upon them. That's not permissible. Second one, then the laws of Parda, hijab, all are thrown out of the window. People are wearing their swimming costume, bikini and dust and what have you right in the house. You will see the men running around with his, you know, swimming costume. The women with their bathing suit and what and what. And so how can all that be permissible? So we need to take cognizance of all these factors as well.
Somebody says here, dear Mufti Saab, I am drawn to Islam. However, I have a slight problem. I learnt that tattoos are not allowed, and I am a loving full body tattoo canvas. Does this mean I can't convert? Anonymous Christian brother, Ustad.
My brother, you are belonging to the Christian faith. We thank you, my brother. Islam is for all, and all for Islam, whatever your background is, my brother. Now, we need to analyze the situation. You see, you know Lucifer, you know Satan. So when he was in paradise, Almighty commanded all, the angels and him, Lucifer, Satan, the Shaitan, we say, that prostrate and make sajda to the master, the peace, Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So he refused Satan and he said, Ana khayru min, I'm better than him, superior to him, and so forth. Aba was takbara. He defied the command of Allah. It was his arrogance and pride. He was expelled from Jannah and paradise, never to see it again. Now what happened, my brother, after that? He, the Satan, took various oaths. I'm reading for you. Chapter 4, verse 119. Surah chapter 4, Surah Nisa, the women, verse 119. Wala amurannahum fala yughayyirunna khalq Allah. And I will command them, they will change the creation of Allah. You see today, my brother, Eve wants to become Steve, Steve wants to become Eve, and transgender, and so many things going on. So all that totally haram, unlawful, unacceptable in Islam. So now people want to now put tattoos and so forth, and so on and so on. I tell you what happened to me, my brother, last week. I went here to the local store. I'll give you the name, ShopRite. And it was Friday after the prayer and so forth. So I looked at that brother, African person, and I could see he's a male, but he had, you know, there's earrings, nose ring, and he had some tattoos as well. So I speak a little bit Zulu, you know. So I asked him, Baba, when a Bafana or Bafazi? So are you a male or female? Then he looked at me. So he said, no, Bafana. I said, what's all this you putting? I see you got earrings, you got nose ring. He says, the new generation. I say, Baba, these fashion people, they're making you valagile. They're closing you. You're not thinking straight. You mixed up. You don't know whether you're Eve or you're Steve. Then he start laughing. Then he say, yes, Fundis. Now you're speaking right. You see, they call us Fundis. You know, there's no Fundis business in Islam. Fundis means priest and all that. So you see, my brother, you want to become Muslim tonight, tomorrow, 100%. So with the tattoos and all, you just cry to Allah, beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. That was in my days when I wanted to please the Satan and the cronies of Satan and his comrades. But now I want to make peace with you, O my Creator. So 100% you become Muslim. Do not let that become an impediment. Then if there is some way and so forth, you can remove it, remove it. If you can't remove it, you leave it. And remember, you carry on being Muslim. We all are sinners. And we beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness. Chapter 39, verse 53. Chapter 39, verse 33, my brother. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disappointed, disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily, Almighty Allah forgives all the sins. So our invitation to you, my brother, embrace Islam. Do not use the tattoos as an obstacle, an impediment. Our message, we say Islam for all and all for Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see the question says, my name's, it says Meryl, M-E-Y-R-L, Ustad. A die-hard feminist. I have a few questions about Islam. How come there is no equality in terms of gender? Why can't men cover two, only women? Some men are extremely good-looking too. This is Meryl, Ustad.
Meryl, your question is that the way I understood it, that the husband can have 2, 3, 4 wives, and the wife, you asking why she can't have 2, 3, 4 husbands. So one easy answer I'm giving you, in today's world, we in 2021, so you should think about this, my sister Meryl. I'm coming to the real answer, but I just want to stimulate your mind a little bit. Now you need to ask yourself that today they play tennis. When I was young, I used to play a lot of tennis. You know, now we're old and cold and tired and retired. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the men, they play best of five. You see Wimbledon, French Open, Australian Open, South African Open, whatever you want to call it. They play best of five, the tennis. And the woman, they play best of three. So where's the equality in that, in this day and this age, my sister? It shows psychologically already there's a difference between male and female. One, America speaks about democracy and about justice and about universal suffrage and so forth. One person, one vote. America is running for 240 years since it started its system. Till today, never did they have a female president. Where is the equality, my sister, in America? So Hillary thought in 2016 she's winning, and you all know how humiliated she was. So you must remember that's America. Go to apartheid Israel, the rogue regime. They had a prime minister, Golda Meir. That she was a prime minister, but not the president. So from 48 till now, Israel, the rogue regime, never had a female president. So my sister, you should think about that. You say you're a feminist, but you want to question Islam or attack Islam. So fine, I got no problem with that, and I take no offense. But to stimulate your mind, I gave you your example in your modern world where you'll speak of equality and freedom and all the liberty and so forth. That's one side of the coin. Now let's come to the other side. All these questions, my sister, were answered already. A lady came to our mother, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, the honorable wife and spouse of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, "Oh Siddiqa, how come the man can have 2, 3, 4 wives, but the woman can only have one husband at one time?" So she, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha, kanat adibatan faqihatan muhaddisatan. She was a master of the tafsir, commentary, exegesis of the Quran, a master of the hadith and, you know, the teaching of the Prophet, peace be upon him. A linguist par excellence she was. She took a jug. Now you, sister, you take a jug and you put 4 glasses there. So you pour in each glass. So everyone, you know what it is. So I had 2 wives, 3 wives, 4 wives. For example, I only have 1 wife. So So this wife gives birth, that wife gives birth, that one. So I know it's my child and I am the biological father and that wife is the biological mother. But now you take the 4 glasses or 2 glasses and pour the water in the jug. So how will you know who will be the father and so forth? Even today, with your DNA and your technology and medicine and all that at its peak, still the scope will be there for contamination, pollution, and so many different things. And then the issue of haya, shame and modesty and morality and so forth. You see, my sister, what has happened to the feminist movement? You are suffering from a complex. So whatever the men have, you want to do. So you say, why must we be pregnant? Why must we breastfeed? We don't want to call it breastfeed, we'll call it chest feed. Because the men, they have chest, so we also will have. So that you suffering from a complex and so forth. Look at the system of Almighty Allah. You are created with your own special role. You will fall pregnant, you will be the mother, you will breastfeed. The men will not fall pregnant, they will not breastfeed, they will not have labor pains and so forth. So that is the divine system, that how the world can work with, you know, with harmony. But you want to change that system of God of Almighty, and therefore you find that in today's world, more haram, illegitimate children in France, in Brazil, South Africa, than legitimate children. Because you say, I'm a feminist, I can do as I please. If I sell my body, it's not your business. So you see, so once we go against the divine system, then we create bigger problems for ourselves.
So the sister says, Ustad, that of course she wants to know that, yes, why can't men cover like how the woman cover, Ustad? Because some men are extremely good looking.
Oh, you mean the face and so forth.
Yes, Ustad.
Okay. So you must remember that, my sister, that what in Islam we say, the place for the lady is at home. You have diamonds, you have jewelry, you have money. So you keep it at home in the same place. So our women, that is their place. And the men, their place is outside. They have to go work, go to the shop, go to the job, all these type of things. So they have to be exposed and all these type of things, because they're the breadwinner. The woman in Islam is never the breadwinner. So therefore, my sister, you should remember, from time of birth right till time of marriage, you will remember that the father is responsible for the daughter, and from the time of marriage till death, the husband is responsible. And if the lady goes out, then we will tell her to cover and so forth. I give you an easy example. One day, my wife, myself, we were flying from Johannesburg to Zambia. And then there was a white gentleman next to me. He was very uneasy, you know, because the way I'm dressed, my wife is dressed and so forth. So I told him, brother, take it easy. My name is AK, but I don't have an AK-47 and so forth. So at least he smiled a bit, you know. I told him, see, any question you have regarding Islam, anything, I won't take any offense. So he asked me, why is your wife dressed like this with the face covered and so forth? I said, brother, let's just say his name was Tom or Dick or Harry. I can't remember his name. So whatever his name. I said, see, you asked a very good question. I only ask you to be honest. So in this plane, let's say there are 100 passengers, 50 male, 50 female. Is that fair? He said, fair. I said, in this 50 female passengers here, look at my wife and look at these women. It was a very hot day, who are scantily clad and so forth. Who will bring about more morality, more, who will be a better example to their children, grandchildren? My wife or these ladies here, majority of them who are the half naked and half dressed and three quarter naked. So he didn't answer. He picked his finger up and he went past my nose and he pointed to my wife. So you see, sister, when you yourself are not going to be the role model and example, then you will have all this. So the nudity, the promiscuity, then now the pornography, and then the incest, and one thing leads to another, 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 and then we're sitting with so many problems. Then you are the one, we say, me too, me too, me too. You know, me too, me too. You know better than me. Yes, I was harassed and was attempted rape and thus and so forth. So you need to go to Google. I was a very young boy.
Mm-hmm.
It came in the newspaper and I still remember the judge name. Judge Pickles. Mm-hmm. You know Pickles.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was in the Old Bailey. And then many years ago, 40, 50 years ago, and he told those women there, this is not South Africa, they're in UK. He said, you, the ladies, you are accusing this person of attempted rape or harassment or whatever the charge was. But you also partly to blame. Just look at the way you dress and so forth. That you inviting people to become predators and so forth. So sister, therefore Islam teaches us that we must have shame, modesty, morality. And once we throw that out, then remember it's a slippery slope. And then the next thing that will fly out is the faith and conviction. And that is what the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, said, "Inna al-Iman wal-Haya'a Quranahu Jami'a." Faith, shame, modesty, morality are two partners together. Idha rufi'a ahaduma rufi'a al-akhir. That one disappears, the other one also disappears. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif and Bayhaqi.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I love your answer, Ustad. One more question, Ustad, before we go for an interval. Student of Deen, Muallima Safiya, she wants to know, Ustad, can Mufti Sahib please advise on how to gain khushu in Salah? Ustad, student of Deen.
In Surah 23, verse number 2, Almighty Allah speaks about the true qualities of the true believers. Those people who perform their prayer with devotion, concentration. So what must you do, my sister, my student? You must be the one to increase the kaif and the kam. You must increase the quantity and the quality. Before you sleep tonight, you used to read 2 rakat tahajjud salat. From tonight, you start reading 4 rakats. Last night, you read 2 rakats. You read Alam Tara and Leela Fikuration after Surah Fatiha. So start reading 2 surahs per rakat. You read Alam Tara and Leela Fikuration in 1 rakat, in 1 unit. Then the 2nd rakat, Surah Ma'un, Ara'it Al-Ladhi, and Surah Kawthar, Inna Atayna. So you increase the quantity and quality. Ruku Sajda, you were making 3 times. Subhan Rabbi Al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi Al-A'la, make it 5 times. And like that, then you will increase your devotion, your concentration, and your love for Almighty Allah will increase. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Why do we have to wake up for tahajjud? Why do we have to fast in Ramadan? Why do we give charity? To make manifest our love for our Creator. Ya Allah, O Almighty, you blessed me with so many bounties and favors. I can never ever thank you enough. These are humble, broken efforts to show my loyalty to you. You are the one and only, my greatest benefactor. So therefore, I read these 2 rakats out of shukr and gratitude and thankfulness for you. So that is how you will develop it, inshallah.
26 minutes to 10. We go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Stay tuned.